Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us today to the book of Jonah. I'm going to read in two places this morning. I'll try to make it quick. I'm going to start in Psalms 139, and then we'll go to Jonah, chapter number 1. Psalms 139, I want to begin at verse number 7 and just read a few verses there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read just a few verses here for context. So I'm going to skip around. So follow me if you can. Jonah chapter number 1, verse number 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Skip down to the verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Chapter number 2, one more verse. Verse number 3, Jonah said, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Lord, thank you for your word. We pray that you'd open our heart to this truth and help us to be changed by it. There's always a fearfulness when a warning comes. And so I pray that you would help us, God, to be clear as we hear your truth. And Lord, we pray that every heart would respond accordingly as the warning goes out to us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I read three verses from the book of Jonah. A lot to be said from the book of Jonah. Certainly a man that, according to his own testimony, heard the word of the Lord, but decided he would go a different direction. Yeah. He heard clearly what God was intending for him to do, and yet he made up his mind that he was going to do something else. Why? Because he didn't want to do the will of God. Now, anybody ever been there? You didn't want to do what God said to do. You say, oh no, that's not me. I always want to please the Lord. You know, we need to be careful about making such statements. The truth is that no man seeks after God. Right? The very best, according to the scripture, of our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yeah. Now, I didn't come to beat us up today, but I guarantee you there's a warning in this to be had. And that's where I felt my soul at least tremble a bit as I prayed through this the other day. There's a warning, a reminding. And we need to hear it. This is for the church today. We need to hear it because Jonah wasn't a lost man. Jonah was God's man. Jonah was a man that knew the voice of God, and he knew the power of God. He knew the God Jehovah. He knew the one that could do all things. And yet the Bible said when God spoke to Jonah, he decided that he was going to do his own way. He was going to go and do what he wanted to do, which was not preach to the Ninevites. Now, this isn't a sermon about people being willing to preach. It's a sermon about people being willing to obey God and the dangers of not obeying God. May I say to us this morning that when you fall into the hands of a living God, it's a fearful thing. And I fear in my heart that there's a lot of people have no fear of God at all. They seemingly, it doesn't matter to them. Now, I don't know about you, but I fear him. And I do so in a reverence, a recognition, because I have been in the place where I have turned from God and went another way. I've experienced what it's like to be at the hand of a God that loves me more than anyone else in this world. And because he loves me, the Bible said, I am not without chastening. Because my Father loves me and he cares for me, here's what I can assure you. He doesn't let me go until I just end up somewhere without any purpose. God loves me and will put a stop to my folly. Aren't you glad of that? I am. I'm grateful today that my Father cares for me. I was reminded as I read about this, and my mind went to the prodigal son. Now, there wasn't any question about who his father was. He was a son, and I am too today. And you are, if you've been born again. You're a son of God today. And may I say, as children of God, we have a responsibility to live for him, to work for him, to serve him, and to do everything we can. Now, I don't know where people get this idea that they can just do as they please, but I want you to know that I have been bought with a price. The very day that I was born again, I died out to myself, and the newness of Christ was put in me, and I was raised to the glory of God. You see, I have a new employer. I work for a new master. I've got a new uniform. I've got a new mouth. I've got a new heart. Amen. When I went to work for him, I changed occupations altogether. And I want you to know he don't let me go.
That's right.
He won't let me go. I realize there's some among us that may have testimonies that God had let them go so far. And I certainly read in the Word of God about the prodigal and how he took the father's living and he went down there and squandered the good name of his dad. He went down there and shamed in the reproach of his rebellion. He lived in a way that the world looked at him and said, I know who he is. I recognize him. Ain't his father so and so? Didn't he live back there? Didn't he do those kind of, wasn't he raised in a certain way? And in all of this, he had neglected his name. He had neglected his calling. And brother, I'm telling you right now, when you get to the place, friend, that you come to the end of yourself, it ain't going to be an easy task. It'll be something hard to bear when the hand of God sets in against us and it begins to chasten us and bring us to ourselves. Brother, that's something we ought to fear in our heart.
Yeah.
We oughtn't to wonder when the hard things begin. I tell you, as a pastor, I certainly can speak to this over and over and over. People look at me and say, I don't know why things are going bad. And I think to myself, my goodness, when's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you come to church? When's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you did something other than for yourself? May I say to you today, when we run from the Word of God, there is a swift and a chastening hand that can come.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. The Apostle Peter, I believe it was, said that chastening for the present's not joyous. Now you say, what's that mean? It hurts. Now if you ain't chastened of God, let me be real clear, you ain't his.
That's right.
Amen. He ain't going to chasten somebody that's his, that ain't his. But if you are, you best mind yourself because he's coming. And I say that in a respectful way. He's coming. Thank God he don't let me go. I'm glad that he cares for me. He loved me more than I ever could love my children. And he loves me in a way, friend, that if it takes it, he'll correct me. Thank God for the correcting and the chastening hand. Thank God for what brings me to tears and drives me to my knees. Thank God for what breaks my heart and causes me to surrender unto God. Thank God for the famine that comes, that strips me of everything and leaves me destitute in the hog pen of the world and makes me want to go home.
Amen.
Thank God for it. And if that comes to you, God bless you. Amen. All I can say is may his good pleasure pour out upon you in whatever it takes to break you and to bring you back to the place of surrender. When the prodigal came home, he did so because he wanted to. Amen. And you'll have to get to the place that God, that you recognize in your heart that you are alienated from God because of your own sin. You've broken fellowship with God and fellowship with the church because you have abandoned God. He ain't abandoned you, but you've turned your back on him and you've gone a different way. You've tried to do what you want to do. Now I say today, there ain't anything but hardship comes from disobedience. And as the people of God, we ought to be the first willing to raise our hand and say, I've not hit the mark. I've missed it here and there. I've not done all that I could do. Anybody willing to say it? I've not done all I could do. I've not served him as much as I've not resisted under blood yet. I'm in a position, friend, amen, and you are too, that we have a Father that loves us and he's called us unto holiness.
Amen.
Holiness. And yet we go about as if life is all about what we want to do and what we want to experience and what we want to get and share and all of these other things, when the truth is that life ain't about you at all.
Yeah.
It ain't about you at all. As a matter of fact, your life is a vapor. It's here one minute and it's gone the next, and we walk around stuttering as if we know what's going on, when the truth is we have no idea what tomorrow will bring. We don't even control tomorrow, much less a year or a future or anything else. And yet we mumble around and we act as if we have some kind of God part in us that gives us a prophetic insight of all the things coming. May I say to you today, the only thing I know is that he is God and he's the only one can save me.
Amen.
And I've come to learn, I'd just soon obey him. Now, there's a lot of hard-headed people out there, and you might be here listening this morning, and then again, you may be listening from somewhere else. But there's a lot of hard-headed people out there. But may I say to you today that God knows how to get the attention of hard-headed people. Huh? If you don't think God can reach you, I want you to remember what I read to you, what the psalmist said was. He said, if I ascend up into heaven, he said, I find you there. He said, if I make my bed in hell, he said, thou art there too. You'll never get away from the Spirit of God. You'll never find a place that you can run far enough or hide deep enough or expose to all of these things. I want you to know that God is still there. You can't leave him. You can't get out of the watchful care of his eye. You can't get out of his hand if you're his. Amen. You're a child of God today, and he will punish you. Well, that bothers people when they think, God, listen, my parents punished me. And bless God, if you've got any children at all, you best punish them. Correction is meant for their good. It is meant for their own well-being. Amen. And what he said was, as if an earthly father has the sense enough and the good mind enough to punish and correct his own children, he said, how much more does your heavenly Father, who is perfect and understands you exactly how you are, how much more should he not punish you? And I, listen, if you don't have chastening of God, you ain't God's. You never been saved if you've never been chastened. Jonah ran from God. But this was Jonah's testimony. He said, but the Lord sent out a great wind. Now here's what I want you to see this morning, is that God will do whatever he needs to do to bring you down. And the only way you'll ever get back up is for him to bring you down. Aren't you with me? The only way for you to rise, the only way for you to succeed, the only way for you to get back to God is for you to get down, low, surrendered and broken unto God. When the prodigal came back, I want you to know he didn't care if he was a son no more. He said, just let me serve you.
Amen.
Now that's the kind of church we need right there. Is a bunch of people that come in saying, Lord, just let me do something. I ain't worthy to be a called your son. Right? I'm not one of these that can just run in and sit on a bench and suddenly think everybody's happy because I showed up. May I say to you today, I ain't worthy to be called his son. But if he'll just let me serve him, I want to come in with a heart full of praise, with a heart and a desire to lift up Jesus Christ. Amen. And to obey him as we come together in truth. What a need among us today. God sent out a great wind. You say, wait just a minute. Are you saying that God organized circumstances against Jonah? It's exactly, well, he said it. Amen. It ain't me saying it. Jonah was very clear. He said, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Now, may I say to you today that if that ship had been broken, there was a lot of other lives in danger. You say, God would never put anybody else in that. Let me open your eyes just a minute. There is nobody in this room that lives in a bubble. Huh? Your life is connected to hundreds, if not thousands, of other lives somehow or another. Amen. You can't go and live just however you want to live and expect that there is no recourse in the lives of the people around you. Here's what I'll tell you. When God begins to put his hand on you, and when chastening begins to come to your house, it will affect the people that are around you. It will. Huh? How many's been there and can say amen? We have been there when we were the one that was the sinner. And yet everybody around us knew that we were struggling and we were in sin and they were hurting. They were struggling. Say, well, that it oughtn't to be. Here's what Jesus said. He said, you laugh when they laugh and you cry when they cry. If you love your brother or your sister in Christ, amen, it's going to hurt you when they're living in sin. It hurts the body of Christ when people neglect him and they wander and they go astray and they live as they want to live. Amen. I know people don't like this, but listen, it ain't about you. Right? When I stand before God, I won't give an account to whether or not you liked it. The point is did you believe it? Did you trust in the truth of God? And here's what Jonah said. Jonah said he orchestrated the very thing that would be my demise. The very thing that would bring me down. The very thing that would bring me to the lowest point of my life. He said, God did all that. It wasn't the devil. Wasn't the devil orchestrating a great tempest in there so that the ship was like to be broken? No, it was God doing that. Why? Because God loved Jonah. Could he have went and got somebody else to preach to Nineveh? Yeah. How many hundreds of times has he could have said to me, I ain't a fooling with you no more. I ain't got time for your ignorance and your rebellion and your foolishness. I ain't fooling with you no more. He could have done that years ago and been right to have left me behind in my foolish, wandering, selfish pride. But he did not. He loved me enough to bring me down. He loved me enough to bring me to my knees. He loved me enough to bring me to tears. He loved me enough to produce in me a godly sorrow that worked repentance. Thank God he loved me enough to send the wind into my life that turned me upside down. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Thank God that he sent the hard stuff. It caused pain, created suffering, hurt. But it broke the heart and it brought it low. And when the heart is low and contrite, that's when you begin to get right with God. That's when our souls begin to marry into the uniting of his fellowship and his peace and his love. That's when we get right with God, is when we get low. And it's often the chastening of God that brings us low. You say, preacher, I don't want to experience the chastening of God. Too bad. It's coming, right? Because you live in the flesh and you mind the flesh often. And when you mind the flesh, you're going to find your Father will do something about that life, that attitude, that lifestyle. All of us are guilty of this, right? We'll get up one day and we'll think, I'm just going to do what I want to do today. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I want to say what I want to say. I want to just mind the flesh. But according to the Word of God, if you've been born again, you can't live that way long. You can't live that way forever. There is a payday coming. There is a reckoning that will come in your life. May I say to you today, if the Spirit of God has made a promise that He will never leave me nor forsake me, I can't go to heaven to get away. I can't get to hell to get away. I can't get away from the Spirit. If that's the truth,
hallelujah,
then I want you to know you're fixing to be a miserable human being if you're undone before God as one of His. Say, preacher, I don't see any remorse in those that say they've been Christians and they're living in sin. Then they're likely not truly born again.
That's right.
It's just the way it is. We wish they were born again. We want them to be born again because we know the born again won't be left. We know them. He will chasten and bring home. But the truth is there's been many a false profession from this altar. There's been many a person got up and said they got saved and got baptized and joined the church and never came back. You say, why didn't they come back? Because they wasn't of Him. If they were, they would have. Or they'd be somewhere going to church, right? They'd be somewhere being faithful to God. You say, well, I just can serve God better at home. That's a lie. It's not true. You lie to yourself. And anybody says it, they're lying to themselves. He didn't set it up that way, and it won't ever be that way. So we just try to fool ourselves in believing that it's this or that. Listen, if the chastening of God is not in your home when you are in sin, you better be concerned about your salvation. Because if you're a child of the Father, here's what I can assure you. He will send the wind. It's coming. And your ship is like to be broken when it arrives. Why? Because that's the purpose of the wind, is to break you. People say, what an interesting doctrine that God really wants to break me. May I say to you today, if you've never been broken, you never got saved. See, you got to be lost to be born again. You got to be sick to be healed. If you've never been broken to the point you recognize yourself as a sinner, and that simple awareness in your own conscience brought you to the truth that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again to save you. Amen. If you've never believed that, you're still lost. Ain't no wonder there's no chastening in your life, because you've never been converted. You've never been made a new creature. You've never been made one of His own children. If you're a child of God today, I can assure you chastening is coming. And it could be the wind. It could be the wind that is like to break up the ship of your life. And if that's what it is, I pray, come quickly.
Yeah.
Amen. Because here's what I can tell you. As long as you're away from God, it's a dangerous place. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Jonah found that out very quickly. There he was, asleep in the boat. Right? I'll just sleep through this. Right? He had every awareness that probably that ship could go down from this tempest, but he said, I'm just sleeping through this, right? I don't care. I'm not going back to God. I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not doing what God wants me to do. May I say to you today, you can say all you want to, what you want to do, but you were bought with a price one day, and according to the Word of God, you are not your own. Now, if that bothers you, you should have considered that before you got saved, because when you sold out to Christ, you were His from then on. And because He's in charge and not you, He's fixing to make some changes in your life. You say, are you certain of that? Yes, I am. He loves me, and He will not let me live just any old way. He's going to deal with me, and He's going to work with me. Is He patient? Yes. Yes, he is so patient. He is so patient.
And when you would have thrown me away, he did not. Amen. He's very patient. But he will not step away. He will not look away. He will deal with what's in my life, and he will deal with it however he needs to bring me low. Because it's only when I'm low that I achieve the purpose of God, that I actually find fellowship with God. It's when I'm broken that I look up.
Amen.
Find that his power is magnificent and wonderful and full of grace and glory and truth and peace and patience and all of these things. It's only when we low. We walk around as if we've got the world by the tail. No, you've believed a lie of the enemy. Right? You ain't got nothing by the tail unless it's going to sting you. Because I can assure you this world ain't having, it don't have anything for a child of God. The wind came. They got to the place where they finally had to make a decision. They cast lots, fell on Jonah. They said, who are you? Where'd you come from? Who's your God? Tell us, why's all this come? Jonah looked at him and he said, yep, it's me. I'm the one. I ran from God. I heard him. He told me I didn't do it. And I'm going another direction. And they said, what in the world are we supposed to do with you now? And he said, just throw me over. Right? Did Jonah know there was a fish out there waiting to swallow him? Nope. You say, what in the world was Jonah saying? He said, kill me. I'd rather be dead than serve God. You ever been there? Well, you shaking your head no. There's a lot of people there right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that just live any old way and they do whatever they want to do. Amen. And if they're children of God, may I say to you today, they're living in a fearful condition. Because my God can send a wind.
Right. Yeah.
When that wind comes, friend, you won't get away from it. It'll break whatever's in your life to bring you down. Because the only way to bring you up is to take you to the bottom. And that's what he did with Jonah. They picked him up and they threw him overboard. And the Bible said then that the Lord had prepared a great fish. Now, you say, oh, thank God, a way of salvation for poor Jonah. Now, let me be clear. You can read it for yourself, but Jonah didn't see it that way. You know, Jonah at that point would have rather died, but he ended up in something worse than what he was in before. Now, I don't know about you, but the lap of luxury is not inside of a fish's belly with seaweed wrapped around your head and you struggling to get a breath from all the salt water coming in its mouth and going back out, and you there in the digestive fluids of a great fish. There he was. And according to Jonah's own testimony, he said, out of the belly of hell I cried by reason of my afflictions. You know what happened to Jonah? It got worse. Jonah said, I'll fix this. I'll just exit. You know what God said? He said, you'll do no such thing. God said, you'll do what I told you to do. Huh? Boy, I'm glad he's like that with me. Don't let me do just any old thing. Amen. Won't let me just go with any old thing that comes in. No. He said, you won't go where you want. You'll do what I said to do. Why? Because it's what's best for you. It's what's best for them. It's what's best for in your family. It's what's best. It's what I have given you to do. That's what you got to do. And if I don't do it, he'll apply the pressure until I do. Chastening's not joyous. It's grievous. The apostle said, it's grievous, it hurts. He said, but in the end, it produces the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Why? Because God gets the result, right? God knows just exactly how to administer the correction, the chastening in my life to bring about just exactly what he wants done. You say, well, God can't do that to me. Then you're not saved. You're not born again. You say, well, if that's what it means to be born again, then I don't want anything to do with God. So be it. If that's your stance, you'll stand before him one day and he'll say, I never knew you. And he will cast you into the flames of that torment. Because you wanted nothing to do with a God that would say, it is my way. That is the only way. It's the only safe way. It's the only best way. It's the only right way. Right? You can, I'm telling you right now, the way of God's the only good way. Every way I've ever went to myself, according to the Bible, every way of man leads to death. We have no idea which way to go. And yet somehow or another we think, oh, I should be in control of my life. And if it means that I have to surrender everything to let God be in control of everything, then I don't want to be born again. So be it. You'll die lost. You'll die lost. You'll miss heaven. And you'll enter into hell and never exit the torments of that place forever and ever and ever and ever. What God did was to save us from that. Oh, but he saved you just to put you on some kind of rule of affliction, a rule of bondage. No, he didn't save me to bind me. He saved me to set me free. Free, how in the world? You've got all of these things that God says do, God says don't do. All of these things are just a rule. They're a bondage. No, they are liberty in Christ. How so? Because I find in everything that he said to do and don't do is for my good. All of these things are for my good. These are the things that grows us and brings us closer to God. Jonah said, throw me over. God said, I don't care if they throw you over. Go ahead, throw him over. Right? Them poor heathens on the boat saying, whoever you are, God up there over the sea, please don't hold the death of this man against us. And they throwed him, right? He's gone. Because we ain't going down for him. They threw him overboard. And yet the Bible said that the Lord had prepared a great fish. Now this wasn't a luxury yacht that was going to suddenly just take him cruising to Nineveh. No, the intent of God was not to appease or to please Jonah. It was to afflict him even more. And that fish, imagine yourself being swallowed by a whale. Just do it for a minute, right? I know you can't comprehend it, but just think in your mind. Here I am falling off the side of a boat and a fish's mouth opens up. Right? You're not thinking, oh, thank God there's a fish. No, Jonah's worst nightmare had just come true. He realized as he was heading toward the fish's mouth, I ain't going to die. He's going to keep me in that. And he did. Jonah's own confession was, as he took me to the bottom of the earth, that old well just went down. Took me to the bottom. And he said, with the seas wrapped around my head and the billows flowing in from that whale's mouth and going back out and me choking and trying for 3 days, no sleep, no comfort. And finally, Jonah came to himself. He said, in the belly of hell, I began to cry out. The bars that had surrounded him from that fish. Right, we sing the songs, right? And it's a nice story to tell to the children, but it's a terrifying truth. He was in the belly of a fish in the bottom of the ocean and had no way out. Jonah began to pray. When he had got to the bottom of himself, when he had got to the place the prodigal got, Jonah began to pray. You say, how in the world did he get to that place? God brought him there. Yeah. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're a child of God today, and you should thank God for this, but you hear me clearly. If you run from God, he will get you. Yeah. You want to do it your way? It won't last long. Because God can administer punishment that will break you. It will stop you. It will turn you. Can God do that? Absolutely can. Does he have the right to do that? He absolutely does. When I got saved, I surrendered all my rights. I traded everything, Jeff, for Jesus. I gave it all up. I died that day to this man. And he put that man in me. I traded this world for Christ. I am his and he is mine. I am not my own anymore. If I depart this faith, here's what I can assure you. There's some bad things coming for me. He will put a stop to it. He will send the wind and will break every ship in my life if necessary. If he has to, he'll take me to the bottom to bring me up. See, how can you be so sure? Because I am his. And Christ himself said, no man can pluck him from my hand. When he bought me, it was for keeps. And it gives him every right to do whatever necessary to bring me to repentance. Here's something, and I'll close with this. It's a whole lot easier if we'll just do what the apostle said. The Bible said if you've sinned, that if you'd confess your sin, that he was faithful and just to forgive you of that sin and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. If your children look into you, your eyes as a parent, and with remorse they say, I'm sorry. What do? Right? You typically all right with remorse. You're typically all right with them coming clean with their sinfulness and making a turn to do right. And that's what God said. That's what the apostle was saying. He said, look, if we have sin, he said, there's an advocate with the Father. There's one that you can pray to. You're sitting there right now and you've not lived for God. You've not served God. You ain't prayed. You ain't read your Bible. You ain't come to church. You ain't done this. You ain't done that. Whatever it is, fill in the blank. We've not hit the mark. And what he said was is that we ought to die to these things every day. And yet we don't even pray about them. I'm suggesting to you today that it shouldn't take a wind to make you say to God with remorse, I'm sorry. I failed. Please forgive me. And you know what he does for me? Angela, every day, you know what he does for me? He forgives me. Didn't take a wind. Thank God, didn't take a fish. It didn't take it. Why? Because I'm acknowledging that I don't get it. I miss it. And when I bow before him, there's a weeping and a brokenness there that says, God, please forgive me. And just that easy, it's gone. It's gone. Oh, but when you run, when you try to leave that, when you try to escape the promises of God and the truth of God, here's what I'm telling you. You open up yourself for a God who has no limit. There's nowhere you can go. He can't fully see you. There's nowhere you can hide. There's nothing you can do that can keep him from touching your life. There is absolutely no hiding from God. Jonah said, from the belly of hell I cried by reason of mine affliction. But you know what he also said? And he said, and he heard me. He heard me out of the belly of that fish at the bottom of the ocean. God heard me. You know what God was waiting for all along? He was waiting for the brokenness of Jonah. Yeah. He was waiting on Jonah to get to the place that he would surrender and say, God, It was my fault. I ran. I didn't do what you said to do. Forgive me. And that very instant, that old fish began to climb back out. And before you know it, it threw Jonah up onto the shore. And there he was. What a mess. Say, preacher, I'm ashamed to be here because I'm that mess. Don't be. Don't be. Right? Let me be clear. Thank God you're here. Thank God you're here. So, but I've been a mess. I've messed it up. I've shamed God and I've did this and I've done that. Don't be ashamed. I smell like a belly of a fish. It's all right. Look beside you.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
That person's been there. Every one of us have smelt like the sour nasty of a fish. Every one of us. If the church ain't a place for the broken to come, where in the world is one? If this ain't a place for those of a contrite spirit, they may come through that board and they may have been gone for 20 years, but you know what I say? Come on in. Come back. You're running to God, don't let me get in your way. Come on, just get to the Father because He's brought you low so that He could lift you back up. And that's what this place is. It's a hospital for the sick spiritually. It's a place for those that have gone and done what they shouldn't have done and the hand of a loving God has dealt with them severely. And now they come with their brokenness, their broken limbs and their broken lives and their broken hearts, and they come crawling back into the church. That's when we got to put our arms around them, Jeff. That's when we got to love them. That's when we got to look at them, Rick, and say, I know where you've been. Ain't it good to be back home? Come on in. Ain't that what the prodigal told his dad? He said, oh, don't hug me. He said, I stink. I'm like a... And his dad all the while was saying, all right, get him a robe, get him a ring, get him some shoes, kill the calf. Does that sound like his father was saying, you sorry thing, where have you been? No, the whole time the father was just waiting on him to come home. And for the child of God, there is a coming home. There is a reckoning. There is a reckoning. Now, he could have done something different with Jonah. He could have took him home. Anybody believe God can do that too? It's a whole lot easier if you'll just say, God, it was me. I'm sorry. And you just come back home. He'll help you. He'll forgive you. He'll cleanse you. He'll put the robe back right back on you. Clean you up just like it never happened. But if you stay out of there, let me remind you, you're not your own.
Yeah.
If for some way or another, he chooses not to break you completely to the place that you surrender and on your own will, come back home. He can take you home. Do whatever he wants to do. Right? He can do whatever he wants to do. That's who I serve. And thank God for it. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live and abandoned to this world that couldn't do anything for me. What a hypocrisy. When all the while I know the only hope I have is Jesus Christ and what he did for me. The only hope I have is that he lives in me. And one of these days, I'm going to close my eyes to this world, and he's taking me to a new place. Pardon me if I'm just giving up on this world. I'm sick of it. And if you're still living in it, I'd advise you right now, get out of it just as quickly as you can. Turn loose of it, cut the ties, break the strings, everything that attaches you to this world, let it go.
because those things have nothing to do with the Father. And if need be, He'll take them from you. He will strip them from your lives. Whatever is best for you, that's what the Father can and will do because He loves us. Come get a song. A warning that goes out. A warning. Because here's what Jonah said. He said, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep." What was he saying? He said, "God, you did that. You're the one that cast me into the deep. And the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." His soul fainted, friends, because God put His hand on his life and said, "No, Jonah, you're going to do this. And you're going to want to do this." When he got done with Jonah, the Bible said when he spit him up on the shore, he is running. Where was he going? To Nineveh. And when he got to the gates, he was already preaching. Repent, for the judgment of God is coming. Repent. I don't want to be Jonah. And I'm not making light of Jonah. I just don't want to be Jonah. I do not. I don't want to live under the hand of God's correction. Why? Why would we live that way? It's easier just to say yes, Lord. It's easier just to say yes. God, I know you're right, and I know my flesh wants to do this, but I kill my flesh. I die to my flesh right now. I die daily. I give up on me. I know that your way is right. It is best. Help me, God. Help me. Help me. I've prayed this prayer. Go ahead, Vicki. I've prayed this prayer I don't know how many times, and I mean, God knows I mean. I said, "God, don't even let me get out of the fit." I know what's out there. Nothing but misery. Nothing but suffering. I know what's out there. God, don't let me go. Don't let me even, if I even turn and get to the fence, do whatever has to be done to turn me around. Don't. That's what Psalmist was praying, right? In 119, we preached it for 2 or 3 weeks. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Make me do it. David was giving it up. He's saying, "God, just make me do it. Incline my heart to it," he said. Same concept. Don't let us go, God. Don't let us go. The ruin is out there. If you just follow the way of this world, it is out there. But oh, that a God would say, "No, they can only go so far. And I will turn them. I will bring them home." What's it going to take today? What's it going to take for you to be broken and recognize that God's still in control? If you're His, you're His. And He's still in control. Stand as we sing. If you're here this morning and you know right now that you're not ready to meet God, don't wait not another minute. Run to Him. Come to Him.